Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Well, we have invested the last few weeks discussing this topic of courage. We've talked about courage to take the long, hard look at our lives, courage to take a difficult step, courage to go in a different direction, and courage to be welcoming. I've reminded you several times over these past few weeks that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but rather God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And so today we have one last sermon on courage. Do we have the courage to follow? Isaiah, this passage that was read for us a few moments ago, Isaiah is trying to give the exiles some hope. They have been conquered by Babylon decades earlier, and many of them, when they were conquered, were taken into exile. Many of these in exile had given up hope of ever returning to their homeland. Others of them just assimilated into Babylonian culture, but others of them had held out hope. Hope that one day they could go back to their homeland. And in this passage that was read, Isaiah uses water as an image to convey both barrier and possibility. He reminded them of the crossing of the sea during the Exodus. You can imagine the fear that the Israelites must have felt as they stood before the sea with the Pharaoh's army pressing down behind them. There loomed barriers that would either send them straight to their death or back to slavery. But God made a way. God made a way through the sea. And then the prophet in this same passage, uses the image of water, of rivers in a desert. Imagine what happens when rivers start flowing through the desert. There's new life. Plants can grow. Animals can survive. Something new can happen. And then God says in this passage, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? It took courage for the Israelites to accept this message of the prophet, to trust God enough that God would be doing something new in their life. The exiles had been in Babylon long enough that they had established their homes there. They had had children there. Their children had had children there. And many of them had never lived in Jerusalem. So this wasn't their home. It wasn't their land. But it might have been just easier to stay in Babylon rather than risk moving back to Jerusalem. There were plenty of barriers for the Israelites. There was complacency. You know, it's kind of nice here. It's not all that bad. No need of upsetting things. Why don't we just stay here? Some of them probably had started successful businesses, and they were like, you know, do I really want to throw away my whole business I've built here and move to a new place and try to start that business over again? You know, it might be best just to stay here. Others had established their families, and they probably thought, you know, is it really worth uprooting my family? Taking my whole family and moving them to a new place, a place where some of them have never lived? But you know, I think it really boils down to fear. When it comes to fear, the question becomes, do we have the courage in the face of fear to trust God and to follow God wherever God is leading us? The answer to that question for the Israelites, though, was yes. Yes, they did trust God. Yes, they did have the courage to return to Jerusalem. And if you go back and you read Nehemiah and you read Ezra, you'll find out that they rebuilt the temple in all of its glory, and they rebuilt the walls around the city. It wasn't easy. And they faced a lot of barriers along the way. You know, again, if you read Nehemiah, you will find that many of those barriers were threats to their life from the people who didn't want them to rebuild Jerusalem. But yet they had the courage to face their fear and to follow God. So that's our question today. Do we have the courage to follow God? Do we have the courage to go where God is leading us from this day forward? According to Anglican Bishop Mark Dreyer, he has it for us to understand our current reality here in the church, and particularly in North America, here in the 21st century, we must first understand that about every 500 years, the church experiences a dramatic shift. And actually, you can go back to this Babylonian exile that occurred around 500 BC. And then 500 years after that, Jesus came, which was a dramatic shift. Around 500 AD, so 500 years later, Gregory the Great saved Christianity from the barbarians in Rome by gathering up and protecting all the sacred writings and starting what would eventually become monasteries. 500 years later, around 1000, the church experienced a huge split east and west, the Roman Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. 500 years after that, in the early 1500s, the church experienced the Protestant Reformation. And just 3 years ago, we celebrated the 500th anniversary of that Protestant Reformation. So here we are again at one of those 500-year moments in the life of the church. And in each of these events that I just named, it took courage. It took courage for the leaders of the church at that time to face the issues of their day and to trust God and have the courage to follow God into a new direction. But what would be a greater direction for the future of the church? Each of these events that I just named drastically changed the course of the church, but it made it a better and more effective church. In the midst of each one of these events, church leaders didn't know what the outcome was going to be. In each of these situations, God was doing something new, but particularly in the beginning, the church couldn't perceive what that was. But each one of these shifts, they were years in the making, sometimes decades in the making. But all along the way, the church had the courage to follow, even in the face of great barriers. The image I like to think of for the church is to think about those first pioneers that moved westward. Just think about, you get this image of these pioneers moving across the plains. Everything's flat. Everything's nice and easy, traveling. And then one day there appears to be dark clouds on the horizon. But as they continue traveling, what they discover is that there's not dark clouds on the horizon, but mountains. Big mountains. A barrier that stood between them and their goal to move westward across this land. So then they would have to find another way. They would have to find a way around or through this barrier. And I guarantee you that their first attempt wasn't a success. They found themselves in a boxed canyon and they had to turn around and go a different way. And maybe the next one was a boxed canyon as well, but they kept moving until they found a way. They had many failures along the way before they found the best possible route to move westward. It was a difficult adventure, but there was great rewards waiting them on the other side of those mountains. Do you know why Denver is there? Denver's there because some of those pioneers got to that point and said, you know what? It's not bad here. I think I'm just going to stay here. The rest of you go ahead. Climb those mountains. Find your way, but I think I'll just hang out here. But you know, this is where the metaphor breaks down, though, because Denver became one of our great American cities. If the church doesn't face those barriers in front of us, we will not become a great church. We must face those barriers and overcome those barriers. You know, the church has been moving along rather easily for decades. And then about 40 years ago, we started seeing some dark clouds on the horizon in the late 60s, early 70s. And now we stand face to face with some really big mountains in front of us as the church. There are many barriers in front of us, and there will be more in the coming years. And one of the greatest barriers is living with the unknown, of not knowing what the church is going to look like on the other side of this shift that we're in today. Gil Rendell says that the church is not in a turnaround situation. In other words, we can't turn the church around and go back to its glory days. That can't happen because we don't live in the same world that we lived in the glory days of the church. Each of these shifts that occurred over time, they've occurred, and it took sometimes decades for them to occur. Not one single event, not one moment in time. So the goal for us is to live in this in-between time without panicking. To be able to live in this time without knowing exactly what the outcome is going to be. But in every other one of these shifts, the church has come out greater and better. And so there's no reason to think that if we have the courage to follow God, that the church will not come out on the other side of this shift greater and more effective. One of the barriers that we'll have to overcome is the fear of failure. The church hasn't always faced a lot of failure. We've done ministries that we're pretty sure would be a success. But because we don't know exactly what's coming, we must be comfortable trying a lot of different ministries, trying a lot of different approaches, and many of them will fail. We'll end up in boxed canyons, but we'll learn from them and we'll try something different the next time. Middletown's success as a congregation is also a huge barrier. The argument can be made, well, we have done really well all this time, so why do we need to change anything? Well, the answer is the world has changed. I just talked to Sunday school class this morning about how the church has moved just in my ministry life. The church has moved from being just off the center of the community to being out on the fringes of the community now. It doesn't hold the place and the power that it once held in our community. One of the ways I know that is, like I told them, when I started in ministry, clergy could still get a discount at the local country club. We're no different than anybody else today. Our world has changed. We must change to meet those challenges that are before us. You know, I'm certainly glad that medicine kept developing and kept evolving. I'm glad that the medical discipline, once they discovered penicillin or vaccine for polio, didn't say, you know, it's pretty nice here. We'll just keep doing this. We won't worry about researching anything else or develop anything new. We won't try any more drug trials or treatment trials. We'll just stop here. I don't know about you, but I'm glad they didn't stop at that. And we as a church can't stop either. There are many barriers that can stand before us, and they will in our future. But I prefer to look at these barriers not as obstacles, but as opportunities. As the Israelites stood before the Red Sea, with the Egyptian army pressing down behind them, what appeared to them an obstacle became an opportunity as the sea parted. The world's changing view of God and the church, their changing view of God and their changing view of the church appears to be an obstacle, but it can be an opportunity if we approach it in the right way. That is, if we have the courage to trust God and to follow where God will lead us in the future. For God is about to do a new thing. And our greatest challenge is perceiving that new thing and having the courage to follow where God will lead us. It's been said, we can change, grow, become something new. We have the power to do so, but do we have the will and the courage? We need a religious imagination that ignites our energies to move beyond mediocrity and fear, one that anticipates a new future. God is about to do something new. Do we have the courage to follow? As Israel stood there with the sea in front of them, the Jewish Midrash, the rabbis kind of fill in that story for us. They tell us the things that kind of make that story come alive. And one of the stories they tell is that as they stood there before the sea, with the army pressing down behind them, a young man stepped out into the water ankle deep, and nothing happened. He stepped out knee deep, and nothing happened. He stepped out waist deep, and nothing happened. It wasn't until he took the step that would bring the water above his nose that the ocean, the sea split open, and the Israelites crossed on dry ground. It doesn't take any courage to step out into the water ankle deep. It doesn't take any courage to step out into the water waist deep. But it takes all the courage you can muster to take that step when the water's going to come up above your nose. Stepping into the water requires courage and trust. Do we have that kind of courage? The kind of courage to follow God when the water will come up above our nose and trust that God will provide a way? Do we have the courage to follow? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.